Ezra chapter 8. Hopefully you have your Bible there. And I trust that God's Word tonight will speak to you. Now I know God's Word will speak. The key is, are we going to listen? And are we going to let the Holy Spirit of God give the application? And that's who we want to give the application. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. To give you an idea where it's at, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. Ezra 8, 21. Just follow along, please. I'm going to read three verses. We'll be looking at several within the text as well as elsewhere. Ezra 8, 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God. I want you to mark that in your Bible, if you don't mind, if you are marking things. Afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of Him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. Remember, we sang earlier about the hand of God, did we not? But His power and His wrath, verse 22, is against all them that forsake Him. So we fasted and besought our God for this. We're going to look, figure out what that this is here in a moment. And He was entreated of us. Ezra said in verse 21 that we might afflict ourselves before our God. I'd like to speak to you this evening for a few moments on this theme of afflicted before God. What does this mean? Afflicted before God. Heavenly Father, we need Your help tonight. I definitely do not have within me any strength or help, but You have it all. So Holy Spirit of God, would You please hide me behind the cross, empty me of myself, and fill me once again. That as was prayed earlier in our prayer meeting here, that I would be in tune with You and not in tune with anything else. And may You be glorified is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezra. Ezra was a priest. He was a scribe. Ezra was a great leader. His name means help. His name means help. And I'll tell you what, don't we need help? Amen? Every day we need help. Ezra's name meant help. And his whole life was dedicated to serving God and God's people. What a great testimony, this man Ezra. Ezra was a humble, obedient helper. In fact, the Bible tells us in Ezra 7, verses 1 to 5, I won't read them, but if you want to mark those down and read them later, Ezra was a direct descendant of Aaron, himself. Remember Moses and Aaron? Aaron, the brother of Moses, this is one of his kin. Ezra is related to Aaron. Ezra, priest, scribe, great leader. His name means help. Ezra, right now, when we started reading here, he is leading a group of exiles back to Judah and to Jerusalem specifically. It has been about 60 years since the first group of exiles went back. You remember Jerusalem was destroyed and the people were exiled, and they're starting to make their way back. The king right now is King Artaxerxes, and he is ruling over the Persian Empire. The Babylonians are off the scene now, and the Persian Empire is in charge. And so Ezra is, again, he's a leader. Ezra is, I think you would agree with me by just those few verses that we read, that Ezra knows that he needs God to be the leader that God's called him to be. And could I encourage you tonight, you are a leader, by the way, in some way, shape, or form. I guess maybe the smallest of kids may not be quite into that role yet, but eventually they will be. But you know what I mean. That to be the leader that God has designed you to be and me to be, we need God. And I believe Ezra portrays that clearly in these verses of Scripture by what he leads the people to do. Now, this journey that they're taking was about 900 miles. 900 miles. Now, you have to think about that. That's a long way even today. You know, to jump in your car and drive 900 miles. If you drive 70 miles an hour, sorry, I'm going to miles right now. But if you were to do that, then that would be, what, 12 hours of driving at least. And but we're not talking about driving, all right? We're talking about walking 900 miles. Yes, best case scenario, it would take about 4 months, 4 months to do this. And it wouldn't. There would be nothing easy about it. It'd be a very physical, a very strenuous journey. Just think about that. You're going to set out tomorrow to walk 900 miles. And I can't even imagine that. I like to walk, but not 900 miles. We can do that another time. But notice, if you will, in verse 22, the Bible tells us something about this journey that Ezra did not desire or did not request a military escort. You see that in verse 22? I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. So Ezra said, I'm not seeking help from man. To me, that's a challenging statement. They had enemies, so do you, so do I. But what a great testimony for 2020. Ezra said, no, I didn't need the king's help. Look what he said. Because we told the king, the hand of our God is upon us. Wow. Telling you what, that's the kind of Christianity we need in 2020. That's the kind of man of God I need to be in 2020. Is that although thankfully we have brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that's not what Ezra's saying about it. He's talking about a pagan king that would have offered him help. And yet he says, no, I don't need help from man, because God's hand is upon us. He's upon those that seek him. Notice, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. Not just on everyone, but it's on everyone that seeks him. So here we see Ezra is preparing the people for this monumentous journey of 900 miles. And he's preparing them spiritually as well, as he talks about needing the hand of God every day. The journey was an impossible journey for the people, whether it was a physical problem or whether it was a spiritual problem. And so this brings me, though, to this theme of afflicted before God. And so Ezra, in the midst of all of this, he tells the people that he's leading, ladies and gentlemen, it is of the utmost importance, before we go anywhere, that we afflict ourselves before God. That just stood out to me as I was reading that. Before we go anywhere, we've got a long journey ahead of us. You know, I think about, we got a lot of time. We have 19 years plus behind us, but I don't know how far we have ahead of us, but I know this. We have an impossible road ahead of us, church. We have an impossible road ahead of us. This is an impossible journey on foot. Come on now. 900 miles, however many kilometers that is. A lot. Too many, right? And so it's a long journey, and it's impossible, and it's insurmountable. And Ezra says, before we even get on the journey, we've got to afflict ourselves before God. Interesting. This word means, what does this mean? Okay, here's what it means. To be afflicted before God, it means several things. It means to chasten oneself. Now, we know that the New Testament tells us that God chastens those whom he loves. But here Ezra is saying we need to be able to recognize ourselves where we need to be chastened. And if we're going to have the hand of God on us as we make this journey to Jerusalem, back where we belong, then we have to be willing to afflict ourselves. We have to be willing to say, I need to stop living this way. I need to stop thinking these things. I need to stop. And it's not about me doing it, of course, God helping us, but there has to be some recognition, self-recognition, where we've gone astray. That's what he's telling the people, to afflict yourself. That's what it means, to chasten oneself. It also means this, to deal hardly with. To deal hardly with. You know what? We have no problem dealing hardly with others. We have no problem sizing up our neighbor and sizing up sometimes our spouse and sizing up our children and sizing up brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. And we can size them up in a heartbeat and we can look at them maybe falsely. Maybe the assumption that we're making isn't even right. It's not even true. But what I'm saying is we're prone to deal hardly with other people's sins. And Ezra is saying, no, we need to be afflicted before God. We need to deal hardly with ourselves. Why? Because the journey is impossible. We need God's hand. Look, we're looking at some impossible things. Let's just be very honest. If you're not from Anchor Baptist Church, you may not know, but you probably have some impossible things that you're dealing with in 2020. I think all of us have been handed some impossible things in 2020, but they were handed to us, as Brother Tackett said, they were handed, they went through God's hand, they went through Jesus' hand, they were handed to us for God's glory, for our good, for our affliction. It also means to humble self. To humble self. You wrap all that together, and what Ezra is saying is, before we get on this journey, it is imperative that we do some self-affliction. I'm not saying for a minute you start beating on yourself physically and hitting yourself in the head. That's not what Jeremiah, That's not what Ezra's talking about. They are contemporaries, I guess, but maybe that's why anyway. No, he's saying you need to do some self-evaluation. We're about to take an impossible journey. And so it's time to afflict ourselves before God. As Ezra of old, I'm calling on God's people to fervent prayer and, yes, fasting. I'm no Ezra, but God has appointed me as the under-shepherd of the body of Christ called the Anchor Baptist Church. We have a journey ahead of us. I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know how many kilometers it is. I don't know how many valleys there are. I don't know how many hills there are. I know God's going to be in it. I know God is already there. But I know this. If we want God's good hand on us, we've got to afflict ourselves first and foremost. That's not part of the outline, but that's where Ezra starts. Ezra said that he was proclaiming a fast. You see that there in verse 21, and you're going to see that many times in the Bible, that a fast is proclaimed. It's called for. And I'm calling on behalf of Anchor Baptist Church to a season of fervent prayer and fasting. What were these people seeking to accomplish? What was Ezra seeking to accomplish by leading the people, by leading himself as well, we'll see that later, by afflicting themselves? What did they need from God? And I believe as we look at this, it's all in one verse of Scripture. We'll make application with each point. But I believe that we're going to find that in 2020, the needs haven't changed a bit. This verse is as timely as whatever you had for dinner. And I hope you already had dinner. If you didn't, well, I hope your stomach doesn't growl too loud. I'm not going to keep you too long, all right? But it's timely. All right, number one. What did they need? Number one, they needed God's leading for the journey. That's what we sang about, amen? God's leading for the journey. Notice verse number 21. He says that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us. Why did they need to afflict themselves? Because they needed a right way. They needed God's leading for the journey. They were going to be going in a territory that wasn't favorable to them. It was a treacherous territory, a difficult territory. It was physically going to be draining and spiritually going to be draining and emotionally going to be draining. And hello. The last 3 months in some ways, and I'm not trying to be doom and gloom here. I'm just going to be very honest with you. The last several months, I think we could describe that for maybe some of you. And I know I can for me. I'll just tell you right up. Physical, spiritual, emotional, draining. But God's faithful. God's always there to fill our cups up. God's always there to take care of us. But we have to afflict ourselves. Why? Because we, like the people here in Ezra's day, we need God's leading. We don't need to be led by the pastor or the assistant pastor. We need to follow them as they're being led by the Lord. And we all need the leading of God. Psalm 5, verse 8. Would you turn over there quickly? Psalm 5 and verse 8. The Bible says in Psalm 5 and verse 8, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. make thy way straight before my face. You know what he's saying? Put it right in front of my face. I want you to be the one leading me. I want you to be the one guiding me. Why? Because of our enemies. Hey, we've got enemies that are trying to detour us, right? But God makes the way straight. The Bible even talks about that narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. But the psalmist here is talking about how that the devil puts roadblocks up and the devil puts detour signs up and the devil puts a fork in the road. Which way do we go? No. Here the psalmist says, God, please make your will, make your way straight before my face. I want to be led of you. That's exactly what Ezra is saying here. We have got to afflict ourselves so that we know what God's leading is, that we know what God's direction is. Only God could lead them in the way that they should go. You see, the testimony of the nation was at stake. The testimony was on the line. And Ezra, as we said earlier, Ezra tells the king, I'm sure very politely, that they didn't need the king's help because, as let's look at that one more time, verse 22, because the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. That seek him. Oh, why did they need to afflict themselves? Because they needed God's leading for the journey. We need the same leading today. We need the same leading through the roads of life and the pathways of life. Psalm 27, verse 11, the Bible says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Again, very similar. A straight, make thy way straight, lead me in a plain path. Why? Because he says, because of mine enemies. Both of those verses in the book of Psalm, it talks about the enemy. The enemy. You have one. I have one. Yet the Holy Spirit of God is in you tonight as a believer. And the Holy Spirit of God is our guide. The Holy Spirit of God leads us according to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God leads us into the perfect will of God. But see, what happens is sin comes into our life. Sin comes into my life. Sin comes into your life. And some of it maybe gets brushed aside and we don't afflict ourselves. We don't chasten ourselves. We don't call sin what it truly is and how wicked it is and how what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to die for our sin. Ezra said, people, before we go any further, before we go on this journey, God, we need to afflict ourselves. Why? Because we need God's leading. Psalm 23 is probably one of the most famous psalms in all the Bible. Two times in Psalm 23, one time in verse 2 and one time in verse 3, the psalmist uses this statement. And you know the statement. Remember, he leadeth me. Would you say that with me? He leadeth me. And I want to challenge you tonight that the Holy Spirit of God wants to lead you. We are sheep, right? And every sheep needs his or her shepherd. I'm talking about big S. For shepherd, not under shepherd. Praise God for pastors that preach the word of God. And I pray for me. I need your prayer every day. We need your prayer as we co-labor together for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have a pastor. Maybe you're not from Anchor Baptist Church. I hope you pray for your pastor every day and your assistant pastor and so forth and so on. But I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. We need Jesus Christ leading. We need Jesus Christ's will. Sheep need to be led. Sheep need to follow the shepherd. Who knows more about your life than the shepherd? Who knows more about our journey than the shepherd? Who knew more about this 800-900-mile journey than the shepherd? No one. Ezra didn't know anything about it. They were going out by faith. They were following the leading of the Lord. Who knows more about it? I mean, think about that. My journey is specifically designed by my great shepherd. Your journey is specifically designed by your great shepherd. Anchor Baptist Church, this church is the Lord's, and the journey that this church is on has been designed by the shepherd. We must trust him. We must not quit. We must not cash it in. We must not say, well, you know what? Enough is enough. We haven't had a meeting and together, and we're just going to give up. No, the journey that we are on was designed by the shepherd. Go to the shepherd and say, please, shepherd, lead me. He leadeth me. It is designed from a foundation of love. God loves us. God isn't looking up at heaven looking down from heaven at Anchor Baptist Church in some kind of laughing, mocking thing. Oh, look at them. They have to. No, God has a plan in all this. Something is working together. He's doing something, but it comes from love. God is love. Don't forget that. It is not void of challenges. It is not void of great difficulties. But Ezra and the Jews were completely dependent on God. And they said, Ezra said, he led them to a fast. He led them to prayer. And he said, we must afflict ourselves before God. Why? Because we need God's leading. Who's leading you tonight? Who's leading you, sir? It's very important. As the man of the home, it's very important that you're being led by the shepherd. Very important. Who's leading you? Who are you following? Hey, don't follow. I do like to keep up on some current events. I do. But don't follow, don't allow the news cycle to be your leader. Because you know what's going to happen? The news cycle will bring fear. That's not, okay, did the shepherd give you fear? No, the news cycle will though. When you start to just scroll through, and I'm preaching to me right now, I usually use Twitter as my news cycle, and I follow several pages that they're not wrong in the sense of following them, but it's still the news. I don't need all of it maybe. But I like to at least be able to pray appropriately and see what's, you know, and why? Because I'm the under-shepherd as well, and I'm praying that God would help me to lead you, and yet I'm even preaching to myself right now. The news cycle brings fear. God doesn't bring fear. No, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God's leading for the journey. Why were they afflicting themselves? They needed a right way to go. Number two. I trust God will just burn this into your heart. Look at number two. And for our little ones. Number one, we said they needed God's leading for the journey. Number two, I'm a firm believer. This is the application God gave me anyway. God's leading for future journeys. God's leading for future journeys. And for our little ones. The next generation of Jewish people would be able to point back to this example of faith and humility. Can you imagine the kids that were in that group? Daddy, what's a fast? We're going to look at something in just a minute. Daddy, what's a fast? It would give the next generation good reason to continue to seek God's presence this way. And again, I'm not trying to be critical of previous generations at all with what I'm going into in this point. So I hope it's not taken that way. But all I can do is talk about right now. And as the leader of Anchor Baptist Church, I'm not only concerned about afflicting myself for the knowing the right way. But if God tarries, I'm already at 47. And I don't know how many years I have. I may not have 70. Only the Lord knows. But this is what I'm concerned about as well. And I'm praying for as well that the future journeys would be led of the Lord. And the future generations that would come, God tarrying is coming. They would come on the scene and they would say, look, the journey is great. We've got to afflict ourselves. Because I remember back in 2020 when this COVID, whatever it was called, I'm talking decades from now, if the Lord tarries, think about things that you look back on and 20 years ago, and I look back on 20 years ago, and I can remember being a part of church, and these things were happening, and I'm speaking right now about my own life. I remember seeing certain things happen. I remember Tom Williams coming to our church, and Berean Baptist Church in Michigan, and I remember him preaching about prayer, and I remember him weeping from the pulpit. I remember how it stirred my heart about prayer, and I'm not the prayer warrior that I need to be. I'm not saying that. I remember some Some other preachers, Dean Blakeney, he cut a watermelon off my dad's chest one time. He was one of these guys that did samurai swords and preached the word of God, and he would go in. I remember when we had the war, the Van Gelderens came to Anchor Baptist, came to Berean Baptist Church, and we did the war, and it was a way to get all the teenagers in town, public school, Christian school, whatever. There weren't really much homeschooling in that day. It wasn't really a big deal, but so I remember that. I remember we dug a pit in the soccer field, and we played tug of war over that pit. And I remember how teenagers were getting saved and so forth. What I'm saying is this. Right now, 2020 is an opportunity for us to afflict ourselves before God, to proclaim a fast, to go to the Lord in prayer, not just for the journey that we are on, but the journey that someday your kids are going to go on, and my kids are going to be on, and my grandkids are going to be on. I'm concerned about that too. And right now, it's up to us. Like Ezra said, it's up to us. It's not King Artaxerxes from Persia. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that wants to help us in this journey. But we've got to afflict ourselves. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to chasten ourselves and get the world out. Why? Because of the little ones. Oh, I think of the little ones tonight. Some of you that are watching, you're a little one. I want you to know that we're doing the best that we can with the Lord's help, little one. I know you'd rather be sitting in church or sitting at home. I thank God for you. And I want you to know that as your pastor, pray for me, little one. Little five-year-old, pray for me. Little seven-year-old, maybe you say, don't call me little, I'm seven, but I'm big now. Okay, all right, big seven-year-old. Pray for me, please. Pray that I would be like an Ezra and that I would lead. I'm not saying I'm Ezra. I'm not that in that class, but I want to be like Ezra. I want to have that spirit of faith that says, let's call this fast. Let's call this time of prayer. Why? Because we need help on the journey. Folks, I don't know what's ahead. I have no clue. But I know God is with us. His hand is on us, like Ezra said. And that's all we need to know. We don't need the government's hand on us. We don't need outside hands on us from the world. No, we need God's hand, and that's all we need. God's leading for future journeys. Go with me quickly to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Some of you will remember this. Look at Joshua 3, please, verse 7. They're just about to cross over the Jordan River. Amen. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I was as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Skip down to verse 15. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. Now you talk about faith. You talk about some men of faith. To step your foot in the water, there's no plywood underneath to take your foot, folks. They were to step in the water, and when they stepped in the water, look what happened. In the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks. We're not talking about some just little calm little stream. We're talking about a river that's overflowing. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zartan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground. Wow! And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground, till all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Chapter 4. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priests stood firm. 12 stones, ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan. Take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes, so 12 stones, that this may be a sign among you you've read this before, that when your children ask your father, their fathers, in time to come, saying, "What mean ye by these stones? What's up with the rocks?" Right? What's fasting? Come on, they're little ones. They're simple. Oh, they're powerful, really. This is a molding time, isn't it? And it's up to us as God's leaders. It's up to us as adults and 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds and even some of you older teenagers to help us to lead the little ones by faith, by chastening, by afflicting ourselves. But notice he said in verse number 7, "Then shall ye answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." When your children ask someday, when my children ask someday, I guess mine are quite older now, but when our children ask someday, will we have a miraculous answer? That's what they had here. A miracle. What is this? What is this? 12, you're not going to believe this. I got to tell you the story. And they could tell them the story. When the next generation comes to a challenging time in their life, what will they do? Let me tell you what they will do if we quit. They will quit. In fact, they might not even last to that challenging time. Whose example will they follow? Whose path will they follow? I believe Ezra is saying, people of God, nation of Israel, we're getting ready to go on a long journey. It's very important that we do some self-evaluation. We afflict ourselves before God. I hope that statement is something that is pressed into your soul tonight, as it was mine. Afflict ourselves before God. And notice, it's done by me. I have to look and say, this is wrong. How do I know it's wrong? Because God's word. This attitude has got to go. This bitterness has got to go. This unforgiveness has got to go. This improper thinking has got to go. This television program, this music, this rebellion, it's got to go. That's that self-affliction. That's that dealing hardly with. And by the way, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What were they seeking? Number one, they were seeking God's leading for the journey. Number two, they were seeking God's leading for future journeys. And lastly, number three, they were seeking God's provision for the journey. Notice it says at the end of verse 21, a right way for us, for our little ones, and for all our substance. Only God could prosper them on this journey. Only God could provide for them on this journey. Think about how much food they would go through in 4 months. Where are they going to get it from? Walmart wasn't quite ready to go yet. Right? I mean, we're not really told that, but I don't think they fasted for 4 months. They wouldn't have made it. They wouldn't have made the journey. That means God provided food for them for those 4 months. God led them and provided for them. God gave them water to drink. He took care of them. God proved Himself faithful for Ezra and the returning Jews. Look at the end of verse 23 where it says, we'll read verse 23. "So we fasted and besought our God for this." For what? For this journey. 2020, we're on a journey. God put us on this journey. I'm calling our church, Anchor Baptist. If you're not from Anchor Baptist, I'm glad you're listening tonight. But this is really a call to Anchor Baptist Church to be continued on Monday night even. But this is a call to Anchor Baptist Church that Ezra said that we besought God for this. We must seek God for this time. We must seek God for this journey. We must afflict ourselves. We must pray. We must fast as the Lord leads us. And notice it says, He was entreated of us. Wow, that's it? Hey, the formula is there. The formula is there. And I'm not following the formula to get a building. Wrong. We're following the formula to get close to God. We're following God's word to have that walk with Him that we recognize faster than ever before. This is not right. I got to get this out of my life. I got to confess this sooner than maybe we would have before. That we would have a spirit about us that isn't holier than thou, but is recognizing that anytime we pray, we don't even deserve to go to God. But God, in His love for me, sent Jesus Christ to shed His blood so that not only could I could be saved for all eternity, but so that I could have access into His throne room even right now. Serious prayer requires concentration and desire. It puts me in touch with God's will and can really change us. This is a quote. Without serious prayer, we reduce God to a quick service pharmacy with painkillers for every ailment. Now, Ezra learned what we all must learn today. God's blessings are appropriated through prayer and fasting. When we fast, when we go without food, it's a reminder of my complete dependence on God. It's a reminder that Christ is all we need. Let's go to chapter 10. We're almost done. Thank you for listening. Chapter 10, verse 1. Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men, women, and children. Notice that. All ages. For the people wept very sore. They were broken. They were broken. Well, I tell you what, if you can't look at society today and not be broken, I'd wonder if you're saved. Really, seriously. It should break our heart with what is happening in society today. And again, it's happened in every generation. It's happened in every time period. But maybe it's just in our face more today than it ever has been. I'm not going to say that it is, but it's pretty much in our face, isn't it? And Shechaniah, the son of Jael, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, we have trespassed against our God. So again, it's that leading that Ezra said, we got to afflict ourselves. And they go on this journey. And while they're on this journey, God is doing a great work in their heart. And they've got some sin that they've got to deal with. But because they afflicted themselves, they said, hey, we're wrong. Notice what he said. We have trespassed against our God and have taken strange wives. Okay, that doesn't mean they were weirdos, okay? It means they were from the pagan lands, all right? So the Bible has great wording there, amen? Of the people of the land, yet now there is hope in Israel. There is hope. Folks, underline those words. There is hope. There's always hope. If there's a God in heaven, there is hope. If there is an Almighty God tonight, still on His throne, high, holy, and lifted up, that we would afflict ourselves, that we would say with a good old Shechaniah, Brother Shechaniah, yes, we've trespassed against God. We have violated the Word of God. We have done something against God. Maybe we haven't married an unsaved person, but we have taken on false gods, or we have allowed God to be set off the throne. And God would have that hope that they have there. It talks about putting away those gods, putting away the false wives, the wives from the pagan lands. Verse 6, and Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. And then he came thither. He did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. And they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of the captivity that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem, and that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to all the counsel of the prince of the elders, all his substance should be forfeited. Verse 9, then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together, 9th month, on the 12th day of the month. The people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling. Trembling. Isn't it amazing how casual we can be about our sin? These people are trembling at how they have treated a holy God. Because of this matter and for the great rain.
Verse 11, now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure. Separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. And it goes on and on, and I'll just stop right there. Ezra, his name means help. Ezra said to the people of God in chapter 8, verse 21, that we might afflict ourselves before our God. It's time we follow the advice of this priest, this scribe, this descendant of Aaron. It's time we make that application for our lives in 2020, that we afflict ourselves before God. Why? Because we need God's leading on the journey. Every day I need God's leading. Because we need God's leading for future journeys. And because we need God's provision for the journey. I hope this little glimpse into the book of Ezra will challenge us tonight.